Hey, geeks. Welcome to episode 38 of the Mini PC Show, Big Talk, Little Machines. My name's Aaron Cardini, formerly the Silicon Wrench, currently Dini Media, and sometimes known as the manager. We got a full house tonight. We got Brian, we got Richard, and we got Dora and myself. So let's see, how you doing, Brian? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. And can't wait for Christmas. It's right around the corner, and unfortunately, I'm going to be on call for this season. So it's going to be the first time being on call for Christmas for the work, for the job. So I'm not really looking forward to that.
We've got a thing where it's notorious that we'll always have a water main break on Black Friday every year. Yep. This year we didn't. We actually had it on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, no way.
So how's the track record around the office for you guys on Christmas? How's the record? How's it usually end up?
It's been pretty quiet, but things are ramping up, and this is kind of one of the busiest years. So I get a feeling my phone's going to be ringing. Right, Daddy, open your gift. Ring, you know.
Ooh, good thing you got me gloves. I'm going to go use these right now.
So, yeah, other than that, things are really going good.
Richard, what's new, man?
Another week and another day in beautiful sunny Florida. Actually, it was cloudy today, but learning about 3D printing.
How cold?
The governor Rick Scott declared a statewide emergency, and he mobilized the National Guard for the warming centers because we didn't break 80 degrees today.
Oh, Richard. Well, thank you for coming back again for the second week in a row, and we're actually going to get up in the 50s for Christmas Day, so I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were down in the single digits a lot of this week. Door-to-door geek. What's happening, my man?
I hope to get into, like, the 0.80 range on Christmas. That's what I'm shooting for.
0.8 inches?
No, 0.80 blood alcohol content. That's the wrong show. I'm sorry.
0.08.
I have 0.0. No, I'm shooting for 0.8.
Yeah, good luck.
Why not?
I bet you don't make it halfway there.
I bet you I won't either. I'm doing okay, I guess. Really quick, something's not right. I had severe skin anomalies, I'll say, when I was a kid. Literally, like, my armpits would chafe and bleed, head real bad dandruff. A blade of grass touched me, and I would literally, where it touched me, puff up by like a quarter inch. My oldest son, every one of his knuckles has a rash on it. His wrist has a little bit of a rash on it. His elbows have a nasty rash on it. So his primary care physician asked him to go see a pediatric rheumatologist. I have what I thought was the best health insurance known to mankind, Blue Cross Blue Shield, PPO. I thought we were going to the best hospital that ever existed, Johns Hopkins University, Johns Hopkins Hospital. And when we call up the pediatric rheumatologist that works for Johns Hopkins, they said, the earliest we can see him is July. Not cool.
Wow, so the kid's got to be in pain for 6 months before he can even see a doctor.
Well, my only response to the lady when she said that, I said, was, you do realize this isn't Canada. And of course, she had no idea what I was talking about because people think Canada healthcare is fantastic. Well, if it's non-life-threatening, like, this is not life-threatening in Canada, you wait forever to go get seen. So I immediately called up his primary care physician again. I said, they told me July. She said, I'm literally walking out of the office today. I had a short day. I'll be in tomorrow. Today I called her up. She, on her own, called up two different doctors and negotiated a earlier visit for my son. Hopefully he's going to be seen now before, like, January 15th.
Oh, that's cool. Good
yeah.
on her.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. I know whatever, I can't bring her any gifts into the place, or can't bring their office a cake or anything because they can't take it. Because, you know, you never know when a Bundy type is going to bring in a strychnine laced cake. So I told her, I said, look, I can't repay you. Thank you very much. You went above and beyond. This is what customer service is supposed to be.
There should be something you can do for her if you really feel in your heart to do something.
Well, and here's the thing. The worst thing I can feel in my life is useless, helpless, like I can't get something done. I told that to my boss last week, that the job I'm in, I feel literally useless. And there's no worse feeling for myself emotionally and mentally. My son whispered to me last night. He said, can I tell you a secret? He said, I didn't tell anybody else this. It hurt so badly when I stepped on the bus yesterday morning. He said, I couldn't help but I had to start crying. It hurt so bad.
Oh, man. Crap.
Yeah. So what can I as a dad do except feel useless and worthless?
Get him some copper knee wraps. I'm just kidding. I don't know. No, you did the right thing. You did the right thing.
You are so lucky you don't live close to me, Eric. So close. Yeah, I mean, I know there's not much I can do, but that's the problem. I don't like feeling like that, especially with my son, especially with something like this.
Yeah.
And now here's the only political thing I'll bring up really quick. The reason I thought this country had greatness in it was because you had the ability, if you wanted to stand up, walk out on your family, walk out on your job, walk out on your debt, walk out on your obligation, sit on the side of the road and die in peace. Or you could go work harder than everyone else you ever knew and be treated better by everyone else because of it, because you had more money and you worked harder. That's what I thought was the kind of thing that made this country, quote unquote, good, how it became what it was. And now I have what I thought the best insurance, I went to the best hospital, and I still feel completely worthless with helping my son. That's, you know, not good. And I don't think Hillary or Trump could fix that.
Right. Well, this lady did, though.
She did, and she's like an old hippie. God bless her.
Yeah, those are the best.
I know. I want to bring her in a pair of sandals, maybe, or something.
There you go. It's a patchouli.
I don't even know.
Yeah, what is that?
I don't know. Something hippies like that they stop taking showers and use it instead.
Oh, okay. So, Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sorry for that diatribe, guys.
No, that was good.
We have emails now? Yes?
We do. Did we ask for emails?
I occasionally beg for emails, but I quite frequently forget to mention we have emails, and I forget to bookmark them, and I forget to forward them, and, you know.
Sometimes they say all you got to do is ask, and you'll get stuff. So I'm going to jump right into the first one, and this one is from a fella named 5150. And I think
Fitty.
Fitty. He is a regular at the Linux Fests and things where we've met up. And 5150 says, and he's talking about Fossbyte's virtual personal assistant alternatives to the Amazon Echo. He says, I'm not sure. I may have taken this link from the Micro PC G Plus group, in which case you were already aware. I was already planning to buy a Raspberry Pi 3 to run Adrian. And come on, everyone's trigger phrase is going to be, yo, Adrian. Now I need another to run Melissa. 5150. So he's talking about alternative assistants, right? Like the Echo or the Google Home AI.
Yeah, it's kind of what Mark Zuckerberg did to his home. Just recently created an AI for his house similar to this.
I still think that's completely
fake.
You think
so?
It did bogus, seem fake, didn't it?
Bogus, bunk, fake news, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Just because it's good publicity. I don't think he has the mental capability to type out HTML, much less create a home AI. And that's just from seeing his past.
Oh, wow.
Well, he wrote virtually none of the Facebook stuff. That was all other people. He was just the guy that put it together. The link 50 sent us is to Fossbytes, FossBytes.com, line 329 in our notes. And we all knew about Amazon Alexa. We all know about Google Home. We brought Adrian a couple weeks ago to the show, but I knew about Blather, which is kind of a different thing. But there are other ones in here that honestly I didn't know about. We did bring Mycroft, but not too much. But there's other ones like Melissa, Jasper, and I think there was another one down here on the list that I never heard of. I like options. I beg for some of these other ones to get some traction, to get some attention, to get some publicity, just to create more competition, because competition just makes everyone work harder, work better.
I once bought a car off a guy named Jasper for $40 and drove it home.
Did you have a brother named Zeke?
I don't know. He had a wife named Connie.
I'm just joking with you.
Kanye? Did the car make it home?
It did. I drove it home on a school snow day up here. If it snows like a couple feet, you can't make it to school because the buses can't run. Well, we decided to get this car running that hadn't ran for a couple of years. And yeah, I almost wiped out both my cars that day by hitting them into each other.
Okay. Well, yeah, this first one I'm going to look at here, Melissa. A lovely virtual assistant for OS X, Windows, and Linux systems. A, I don't like the fact that OS X gets top billing. That's not cool. I know. And then it has basically two links from the GitHub page. One is for Melissa Core. One is for Melissa Web. Melissa Core was updated a day ago. Melissa Web was updated about 2 months ago. So there's obviously more work going into Melissa Core. And I'm learning a little bit about the GitHub rating system. It has 121 stargazers. Once you get above 100, then you're actually considered the beginning of a upstart project. So it's still in the very early stages of what I want to say. But this is cool. It's under the MIT license. Mixed feelings. 19 contributors. That's not a lot, but that's a lot. I mean, if you get more than three people working on something, then you have a chance to make something big. You know? Very cool. And this looks like it's written in a lot in Python. Surprise, surprise. Very cool. I'm going to have to keep an eye on these. Hopefully, at least one of these things will become bigger. Jasper has a very professional-looking website, I'll say. And it has to be good. I mean, it was featured on Wired, Forbes, Engadget, Lifehacker, PC World, RaspberryPi.org, and Hackaday.
Nice.
Well, then it must be good. I mean, you know, why are we even talking about the other ones?
Jasper is always listening.
Yeah.
I know.
That should make you feel good.
And this is like the worst thing, and this harkens back to Rich on Tilts poking Joel. The button isn't a download button. The button is learn how to build your own Jasper, insinuating basically to me you have to compile your own Jasper. You can't just click download and install.
This one's got 3,254 stargazers.
Ooh, well, that's better. That's definitely better. Wow, much better. Okay, well, Jasper looks more professional, even though it has the word Jasper, which doesn't sound professional.
So now, well, the thing that we haven't mentioned, and I'm looking for, does it all stay on your device?
No, we had a really good email from Jonas, which I think I did forward to Eric and Brian, which is it was a really long email, too long for the show. Jonas was a guy back from the Linux Basics days, and he pointed out there is no such thing as one of these intelligent AI virtual assistants that doesn't connect to a back-end cloud infrastructure. Right. If you can ask it anything dynamic, he said is basically like the indicator, anything dynamic, like who's in the Rolling Stones, and it can answer you, it has to go out to a cloud service. The only difference is it might be open sourced, which means hopefully you can at least have some power about what it does and does not connect to, what it does and doesn't send out. But my guess is you're going to have to be a coder, a pretty good coder, in order to get that kind of control.
All right. Do you want me to read all the other emails now? Two more other emails? Do the whole subject?
Sure, yeah. Okay. Yeah, don't you know?
This is the email show. All right, our next email comes from Greg. Greg says, "Hi guys, I have a question for the Mini PC show folks. I'm looking at the idea of building a NAS from a Mini PC. I've done a little digging, and it seems that I probably don't want to use a Raspberry Pi for this, since I'd have to connect the drives through USB, and that's really not fast enough. Unfortunately, I'm not all that familiar with the other Mini PCs. I guess I want a Mini PC with a SATA connection. So if you were to build a NAS from a Mini PC, what would you use? What type of hardware and what software? Thanks, Greg."
Do you have any? I'll let you guys go first because I'm the guy that answered his email.
Well, the one we've been going goo-goo-ga over for the past few weeks is the Upboard. I think the Upboard is a good candidate.
No brainer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, and don't get me wrong. Whenever I shoot my mouth off on things like this, for my vCenter in a backpack, I'm using a Celeron Nook. Gen 6 Nook, because that was what was available at the time. The Upboard may be a very suitable device. Some of the Banana Pi devices have a SATA port. Actually, the Upboard has USB 3 only, I believe. Correct, Tor?
Yep.
I was going to reach over my monitor here because mine's on the other side of my monitors. So you got a USB 3 on the Upboard, so you got to have a USB 3 OTG cable to get that performance. The difference between USB 3 and SATA, and whether you're going over gig or 10/100 Ethernet, isn't going to be that much. And again, this is Rich shooting off his mouth, not Rich quoting numbers he tested himself and knows. So, I have a little bit of experience, but not, you know, severe metrics going into it.
We're all friends here. I'm not going to bust you for being a little off there, Rich.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah, so USB 3 on a device is good. The other thing is the Banana Pi boards with the SATA ports, I think they're using the same chipset for I.O., so you're bottlenecking the chipset, so you're not going to get the throughput that you think you should get. And I know I've talked to Joe Hecht about that. Right. And so I don't know that I would advise going for one of the Banana Pi boards thinking I would get better performance. And right now I'm not doing anything with my upboard, and I could run some tests for the guy if he wanted.
Yeah. You know, what I'll say is there is no one perfect answer for this. I'll tell you what I wrote him in the email. I said, quick answer is the Banana Pi Pro. Mm-hmm. But right now it's still a little bit pricey for what it is on Amazon. I want to say it was like $50-something, high 50s.
It's funny. I saw it recently on Amazon and said, oh, it came down. That's a good deal.
Well, it's still, in my opinion, a little bit pricey, but I'll say this. A true NAS, to me, when I think NAS, I think more than one drive. So to me, SATA is out of the question. If you want to do a NAS, you have to have more than one drive. A lot of people, when they hear NAS, they believe it has to be like some kind of RAID going right on. Okay, I won't go that far with the RAID, but I will say, so to me, SATA is not what you should be looking for. If you want to do just one single drive, a network share, then Banana Pi is okay. After that, I said, I think I would go with a USB 3.0 connector if you want to connect multiple drives. Because of the high throughput of USB 3.0, you should be able to have the one plug coming off and branch it off to two or three drives and still get respectable speeds, is what I'm going to say. Not crazy, fantastic speeds, but very respectable speeds. If you only need USB 3.0, honestly, the board I would suggest is the Odroid XU4 board, which is over at Ameridroid. I like Ameridroid because they're very quick shipping into the U.S. The link should be in the notes, and for some reason, it's not showing up in the notes. So I'm just going to go over here and just manually copy-paste it. The very last line, 333. This has two full-fledged USB 3.0 ports on it. You're going to get really good bang for the buck, is the way that I put it. This has a Samsung Exynos ARM processor, octa-core, for the cores running at 2 gigahertz, for the cores running less. Exynos is not the crazy high-end gamer ARM processor. Exynos is the really solid high benchmark in both GPU and non-GPU type activities. So if you need a moderate performing NAS with more than one drive, I'm going to tell you it's going to be pretty hard to beat bang for the buck this Odroid. But then it goes to OSs. Open Media Vault, some people have said very mixed results on all kinds of different hardware. Open Media Vault to me is the de facto standard. That's what you try first. If this was 6 years ago, I would have said NAS for free or free NAS.
Mm-hmm.
Free NAS. But now to me, free NAS, if you don't have at least 8 gigs of RAM and you try to use free NAS, you really might as well just start doing drugs because it makes no sense to do such a thing.
I didn't
it's like trying to put a Porsche engine.
Sorry. You know. I didn't like OMV on the Pi 3. It just was useless to me.
You're not the first person I heard say that. On the Banana Pi Pro, I can tell you I was getting decent results. Not fantastic results with Open Media Vault, but I was getting decent results. On this, I would honestly expect it would be doing better than normal results. Now, here's one of the gimmicks, because this has an ARM processor on it. The one thing I tell everyone, if you hear any type of server activity, you try to put an Android on it because it's an ARM processor, and then you use the application called Servers Ultimate, and literally in like one or two clicks, you can open up a LAN, start a DLNA server, start whatever kind of servers you want without having the experience of actually being a server admin. That's my like middle of the road option. I will also put in here a link I sent him comparing single board computers so he can very quickly see all of the single board computers with USB 3.0 on it.
What was that Android one again? I'm sorry.
Servers Ultimate?
Servers
Ultimate is the app. I'm going to make sure that's in the notes too. That to me is the go-to app when I don't want to do any mental work, but I need a server up on my network quickly. This isn't for production. This isn't the most secure thing you're going to do. This is the kind of thing that I truly believe makes Joe Heck twitch. But we're not doing this for a small home business with tens of thousands of dollars of computing stuff going in the background. This is just for your home playing around kind of thing. Servers Ultimate's fantastic. And I'm going to put the link in the notes also to the comparison of single board computers. That's what I wanted to say. But it doesn't have the upboard on here. The upboard, for some reason, is not considered a single board computer, I think. I don't remember seeing the upboard on here. That's why I'm saying that. It could be, but I didn't see it. Now, if you want pure performance, and then this is what I'm going to end it off here. And so if he wants pure performance out of the NAS, I don't see how you can come close to beating it with anything else besides an upboard. So you get true desktop operating systems, you get true desktop speeds, you get good ports, you get good availability on ports, you get a good powerful NIC, and it's the size of a Raspberry Pi, basically, but it's $120. So you could almost buy two of those Odroid XU4s in its place. So it isn't cheap, but it's good.
And actually, Dor, you've been using that more than I have. How you been liking that?
It is, okay. I'm ready to make a permanent home for it down here in my studio. Right now, I've been carrying it in the box back and forth to work every day.
By the way, you're getting a case for that and probably have it in 2-3 days.
Okay, cool. I've been hooking up to, I think, a 27-inch monitor at work. It's a monitor I friendly stole from another department, and I told them they're not getting it back. Looks gorgeous. Runs fantastic. Everything basically snapping it loads. I'm truly shocked because a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, this is comparable to like a $300, $400 laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Just unbelievably satisfied with it.
Nice. Now, what was this?
We gotta wait till April for the up squared.
What was the purpose for the network attached storage? Did he mention it in the email?
Well, that's always a good question.
He didn't give a use case. I will say the fewer people connecting to it or the fewer other computers connecting to it, the cheaper, the smaller the computer you can get, the less you have to worry about throughput on the NIC or on any one given port. But if you really want to have like a house full, a family of people backing up computers or everyone accessing movies from, that's when you want something better than just a Raspberry Pi, right. I'll say.
Got one more email that we'll read tonight. This is from Jesse Beach from St. Peter's. And he says, "Hey, Dor, I sent this one a while back. Not sure if it got lost in the process. I think you were saying you didn't have any emails a couple shows ago after I had sent this one. Take care and thanks for the help." And he says, "Hey there, guys. This is Jesse in St. Peter's. Would like your opinion on which route to go when putting together a new Plex server and or maybe another remote own cloud backup server. I have an aging desktop that I run my Plex server on, and it runs okay as of now, but have been looking to upgrade. It's a Pentium D from about 2008 that's been maxed out on RAM and rebuilt a few times. So with that being said, would you think about running a Plex server off of a nice mini PC that you could connect a large spinning drive to it or a consumption PC? Or maybe some kind of desktop replacement or server Xeon low power consumption PC. I also do a little bit of video editing on my GoPro videos and will be getting a drone in the near future.
Nice.
And we'll be doing a little video editing with that as well. Thanks for the help in advance, and I want to remind everyone to do all their shopping on podnuts.com/Amazon.
Thanks for the link.
Yep. And Jesse's one of those guys. He's been supporting the network for a while. So for me to misplace one of his emails, I feel especially jerkified. Like, I really bad of me to do that. So thank you for resending this, Jesse. Do you guys have any suggestions about hardware for a Plex?
Okay. I'm going to punt on the Plex for the moment, but pretty much OwnCloud, you can run on anything. And that's what's great. And really, it's a scalability. It's like, who's going to be connecting to it and how many. And if it's just you, or if it's pretty much single person at a time, you definitely can run OwnCloud on any mini PC you got kicking around. It'll work. It'll work on a Pi Zero. And if you're going to do OwnCloud, definitely do it with DietPi. Because it's just menu-driven setup. Click, click, click. Boom. It's going to work. And stink easy. Now, I'm going to kind of marry the other two. I was running I got a donated Vista machine, and I was running Open Media Vault on it. And my Open Media Vault, it ended up the items I was using from Open Media Vault was Time Capsule and Plex. And I ended up, Door sent me a Banana Pi M3. And I ended up running Plex and Open Media. I'm sorry, Plex and Time Capsule on that. It's the Avahi protocol, you know, Netatalk and Avahi. And I just did a refresh of it, and I'm pulling it up here. I'm running the DB8 Jesse Mate with the GPU. It's if I'm reading this correct, it's running a version of Mate that utilizes the GPU that's on board. The only thing that I've noticed, now I've had it running, and I don't recall specifically what OS I was running prior to this. I think it was Ubuntu Mate, and it seemed to work okay, and something happened, which it shouldn't have been a power surge or anything like that, because my data center in a drawer is on a UPS. I had to do a refresh, and I just noticed last night I was running Plex. Now, if you're shopping, the M3, the Banana Pi M3, is going to say it's an octa-core. And just like Dor was talking about the Odroid, it's got four low-speed cores, four high-speed cores, and they're never running at the same time. So it's a quad-core with a low-power quad-core and a high-power quad-core. I was watching a movie last night on the TV and from my Plex server on the M3, and I noticed that, boom, it died. And it died in such a way that, you know, I was messing around with the TV trying to figure out what was going on. And then finally, I walked into my office and checked. This is several minutes later. The board was still pretty warm. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised. I just ordered some new heat sinks for the other chips on it that don't have a heat sink. So I've noticed, and I got to make better note of it. I'm assuming I've had to power cycle it when I've been streaming video and it overheated and died, because that's what happened last night. Now, I've had good success otherwise with it. It could be this OS combo that I got running. And the other thing that Dor and I were just talking about a couple of days ago about it is it does have 8 gigs of eMMC on it. So you don't even need an SD card, the micro SD. You could boot it, and I actually have it connected to two USB 3.0 drives, and that's for all my backups, Time Capsule backups for all the Macs on my network, and all of the movies that I have, movies and TV shows. So I do have two drives plugged into it on the USB 2.0 ports, and that works fine. There's no issue with speed. So if you think you need SATA or USB 3, you're incorrect for streaming movies off. You may have to mess around with what OS gets you the best performance, because it looks like the Mate GPU, I'm sorry, DB8 Jesse Mate GPU version that I have is heating up one of the chips on it pretty bad.
Yeah, that was one of my things on the Nano Pi Neo and on the Banana Pi M2, I think it was. I had every Mate version would cause the board to basically overheat and get hot, get really stinking hot, or even shut down because it's hot. The Debian versions without a desktop seemed better. I'm not going to say great, but they definitely seemed better. What I'll say is OwnCloud will run on anything. but it depends on how people are going to access it. If they're going to access it via the client app like Dropbox, syncing files off their local computer, anything will work. Like Richard said, anything will work handily. If people want to access that web desktop, Raspberry Pi, anything less than a Raspberry Pi 3, that will run horribly slow, wicked slow, and not be very friendly to use. So I would say expect to spend $30 or more on a mini PC if you want to do the own cloud or next cloud web interface. Plex, I'm going to actually harken back to Rich's other show he's on, Tilts. They interviewed one of the lead developers of Plex probably 2 years ago now, a year and a half ago. They have Plex explicitly designed to not tax a processor. It's meant to do little short burst of transcoding and then having specific amounts of downtime, aka Plex is intended to be able to be ran on a lower end processor and still transcode like 3 to 4 streams at the same time. So with that said, it depends on how many people are going to be accessing this Plex. If it's just one person, there's little doubt in my mind a Raspberry Pi can do it just fine. Once you get more than one person, that's when it starts to become a roll of the dice how well it's going to work. And like Richard said, the hardware is only half the equation. The software is the other half of the equation. If you look, you'll find RasPlex. But then after looking, you'll figure out RasPlex is not for a Plex server. It's for a Plex client. So I'll say again, if you want the best possible performance on a Plex server and the best possible performance on an own cloud or next cloud server, if you can afford wait and save up, the Upboard, again, is saying zero hassles and it will work fantastic. Anything else, I encourage you to get something Raspberry Pi hardware or more, like the Odroid C2. Odroid C2 run like butter.
All right, I want to chime in. I did run Plex on the Pi 3, and that's why I'm not running it on the Pi 3 anymore. I was not happy with it.
Yeah, I'm going to bet 1080p, probably okay, but anything above that, even one stream, and I don't think it could do it.
Well, I think one of the issues with the Pi 3 is we're running a 32-bit OS on a 64-bit hardware. You probably, when they come out with a 64-bit OS for the Pi 3, it may be worth retrying Plex on the hardware again.
No, but,
gotcha.
Jesse's other questions about doing video editing of GoPro videos and drone videos. Do you think the Odroid and things like that, those kind of things, or would he be better off with a desktop replacement or a Xeon low power consumption PC? It sounds like he wants to do all of that.
Yeah, my logic is as soon as you get into the words video and editing, you want to throw more hardware at it than
RAM. RAM's a big factor in that.
Yeah. I say, like, literally at least 8 gigabytes.
I did video editing on a Pentium 2, so, I mean, it can be done.
Rendering is going to be really slow.
But it was days of encoding.
Yeah. Oh,
my goodness.
So, I mean, you probably might want to be looking at an x86 machine, like you said, with a lot of RAM. You guys really gave some really good feedback. The only thing I wanted to add is if he did want to take a little easier route than not building his own hardware, is look at the NVIDIA Shield Android TV model. I've seen that run, like you said, Dor, 3 or 4 streams at the same time without even having a glitch. So I'm not too sure about video editing on that device, but I think for simplicity, the NVIDIA Shield.
Right. Well, I forgot. One, NVIDIA Shield is the only, I believe, only officially supported ARM-based Plex server is. So, yes, you will get better than what you think performance out of it just because it's officially supported. And he said GoPro. Here's the gimmick, Brian. GoPro, besides virtually going out of business, they have a video editor for Android that a couple people I spoke to tout how fantastic it is. So I would ask him to take a look at that, because here's the gimmick. They're getting ready to rev it. Hear me now, believe me later. weeks, less than weeks, okay, CES, they're going to announce NVIDIA Shield 2 with much better everything, specs. You'll be able to get this NVIDIA Shield first gen on a clearance rack probably by the end of January at a good price. So if you're not in a huge time rush, I would keep my eyes open for that NVIDIA Shield TV.
So the NVIDIA Shield's $199 right
now,
and they're out of stock.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, CES happening, I believe, in two or three weeks, they will announce the new NVIDIA Shield. The video editor on Android, I'm going to put a link to notes. It's called Antix, A-N-T-I-X. It gets really high reviews. People swear it's a great video editor. I will say, video editor, Android, sounds like oxymoron, but people swear to me that it works.
All right, so it may have been with my daughter's iPhone 6 in last year, and I dropped her off. She was volunteering at a place that does therapeutic horseback riding. And she came home with a video, with music, and everything. She edited it on her iPhone. And I was shocked to all get out, because that'd be like, you know, my YouTube channel where I do a sloppy edit, you know, a quick edit, just cut, boom. It was really nice. I think she even had transitions in there. And, you know, she's doing higher quality than what I'll do, you know, on a review of something, or, you know, showing how I have a Raspberry Pi open my garage door kind of thing, you know, which me, I try to do it without a cut, and I try to do it all in the camera. But, yeah, I'd be shy. I haven't tried any of the Android stuff, Android editing, and I'd be kind of interested to try it out maybe on one of my next videos.
Very cool.
I would say hopefully try to have that Android device with at least three gigs of RAM.
I think we've probably
work on my phone.
Nearly a dozen video editors, I think, over the years to the Android App Addict show. And some of them had tons of features. I mean, some of them even had like special effects where you could make a car on, you know, be burning. You can superimpose fire onto things in your video.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, there was two of them that had special effects where you could stretch video. You could stretch an item in video, and like weird stuff like that. Stuff I wouldn't imagine you'll be doing on a device. But yeah, like Richard said, what I don't understand, I guess I do understand, I can buy a phone today with 6 gigs of RAM in it. I cannot buy more than one tablet, Android tablet, with more than 2 gigs of RAM in it. And set-top box, I don't think I can find one with more than 3 gigs of RAM in it.
Don't understand it. Yeah.
I don't know why. I know.
Is there phone wars going on?
Yeah. I'll just say, I'm loving the prices coming down as they are on these phone devices. I mean, I got this mint condition Huawei Honor 8 off of Swappa for less than $300. And it's a beast. I mean, this thing chugs, gets stuff done ridiculously fast. I have a guy at work with a $700+ phone, and I got another guy there with like a $600+ phone, and we do side-by-side comparisons, and I just cackle laughing at how I blow them out of the water.
So can I get that for Verizon, and what OS does it run?
No, you can't get any good phones on Verizon. That's just the bottom line. Anything that's good can never run on Verizon. Anything that's on Verizon cannot be good. It runs EMUI, which is a custom version basically of MyUI, which is an actual show me Chinese government based Android product that, you know, Heil Chinese guy, whatever, I don't know. I'm okay with him having access to my stuff as long as he doesn't mess with my Instagram food photos. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
That's stay off the...
Yeah.
So you don't mind being spied on by the Chinese government then, I guess.
I'm spied on by my own government. Why don't they share? I don't mind sharing. You know, sharing is caring. Right.
Dort tweets in English, so they're not going to be able to understand what he's tweeting about anyway.
I don't understand what I'm tweeting. So I believe that was all the emails, Eric?
I believe so.
I want to seriously thank everyone for their emails, and more importantly, thank guys like Jesse for his patience in my ability to sort and organize these damn things. I was going to lie and say I'm going to get better at it, but I don't think I'm going to get better at it. I will say one thing I hope to have finalized before next week, because we have Christmas coming, so not a lot of free time. But I'm going to have, I believe, a Ally Express affiliate link available for us Podnuts Mini PC people. Because I swear, it seems to me like every week almost, we bring something that you really can only buy on Alibaba or AliExpress, either because it's so new, or it's such a niche device, or it's just sold straight from Korea, Hong Kong, and nowhere in a U.S. site can you buy it. So hopefully I'll have that done. So if you want to buy your Alibaba things and support the network, you can do that.
You're too late for me. I placed an order with Alibaba because actually, so I got a little bit of a story about a Pi Zero. I'm doing 3D printing, and Octoprint is the bomb. If you get a 3D printer, get Octoprint, have it running on your Pi device, and it does time-lapse photography, controls your printer, you can see video of your printer, so I'll VPN into my home network and check on the print. Two things. One, I moved the printer to the garage out of my office because it was stinky, plus my green buddy here, I don't want him in my office when I'm printing, because I don't know what kind of fumes are coming off that. That might be not good for my bird. So two things. My house has steel studs, so there's two steel stud walls between me and my garage, and basically I get no Wi-Fi there. So or such a limited Wi-Fi, it's ridiculous. The other thing is, I did a print, and I had issues. It looked like I had temperature underrun going on, but also I had layer adhesion. So when I pulled this piece off the printer and started pulling on it, it came apart on me. I don't know if the Pi Zero multitasks fast enough to handle moving the print head and regulating temperature, you know, reading the sensors, regulating the temperature, etc. Because what I'm going to end up doing is plugging my Pi 3 back in, using it as my print server until the Orange Pi Zero comes, and I'll see how that does, because it is a quad core, and I'm hoping that performs a little bit better, and hopefully I didn't waste my $8.99 plus whatever it costs to get from China.
Right.
It's $12.30 is the total price per device, and maybe a little bit more for shipping. So I ordered two of them just to check it out. I figure, hey, it's worth throwing my money at and seeing what goes on. And I did tell my Banana Pi M3 story already about Plex. So I, those were the two stories I was bringing to the table.
Gotcha. Really quick, Brian, I don't know if you were fully, my logic is if you want to talk more about this on the next show, we can, but I'm sorry, I'm bringing this up on this show. Line 331, and Richard, I encourage you to click. No, actually, I encourage you to disconnect right now and don't listen to this podcast when it gets published. Okay. Line 331 in our notes. I'm not a huge HP lover is what I'm going to say. But this thing is quite cuckoo crazy is what I'm going to say. It's called the HP Elite Slice Desktop. This thing is uncommonly, ridiculously small footprint. If you've seen like the wireless Qi charging pads for your phones, this, it looks about the exact same size.
A little bigger than the mouse.
Right, but this is a full quote-unquote desktop computer starting at $699. Now, let's just say it's not cheap. Okay, whatever. Okay, let's scroll down. Let's look at some of the features. One, you look at the computer, it's literally a little bit bigger than the mouse, like Richard said, maybe 2.5 mice. Unbelievable amounts of ports on the back of this thing. You scroll down a little bit further, then you see it's stackable to where you can get extra storage, and it looks like it belongs. You can get a good speaker by Bang and Olufsen. Not it isn't that crappy beat, so it must be good. Modular masterpiece is what they call it. And then you keep going down, but then you find out it is also a wireless charger for like your phone. It has Qi charging built in, so you put your phone on top of the computer and it can charge your device, easy expandable storage, quick connection, quick charge, Intel 6th generation processors, USB Type-C, ready, Richard, up to 32 gigs of RAM. Whoa.
Gen 6 will do that, but if you're looking at the numbers here, you're at $899, and
I know.
You got 6 gigs with a 8 gigs with a 256 gig SSD. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I got the Nook, the Intel Nook, so i5, 32 gigs of RAM, 250 gig SSD for, I think it was high fives.
Right. Well, this I can tell you is literally like half or smaller.
Oh, yeah.
Than a Nook. This also says it does support multi-monitor support via HDMI and digital display port. Multi-monitor is one of those things I think I'm going to start using as a guide stick. What can and can't do it. That is a differentiator. But yeah, if you get it up to an i7 processor, starting price $949. So, you better have been a really good boy for Christmas kind of thing, or you just better be used to spending this kind of money for this kind of device. Because I say it is a really...
Looks great.
This is maybe the best looking... Yes. HP device I've ever seen.
Or best looking, you know, Nook size, Mac Mini size type device. And don't get me wrong, the Mac Mini was pretty big for, you know, comparing it to a Nook. But that great looking device. I mean, if you got a nice home office, that's going to fit good.
Oh, yeah. It's got capacitive touch options as well, too, for power, audio, and mute and so forth.
One of my monitors has capacitive touch, and I don't like it because I don't feel a button. There's no LEDs, so I don't know when it comes on.
Yeah, I've got two of those in front of me now. I'm always accidentally bumping them, thinking my computer.
Oh, yes. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my monitor does the same thing.
The monitor's off. I thought my computer just froze. it's funny that they're using Bang & Olufsen speakers now because my HP laptop has Beats in it, like you said, Doris.
Well, that's everybody's realizing just how much of a complete ripoff and how useless Beats brand is and how it's not good. I'm pretty sure this is the holiday Beats sales plummet in comparison to what they used to be.
I saw one of the websites had a teardown of Beats, and they just had all sorts of metal in it to make it feel heavy. You know, there was no reason for it to be there other than to make it feel heavy. And here's the thing. Like, I know if it says it on it, it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a Mamiya, a Hasselblad, a Bronica medium format camera, the word pro or professional is not on it. And if you buy any equipment that says pro, professional, whatever, it's not.
That's a great tip for everybody out there, especially this time of year. Maybe a week ago would have been better, but...
And when you're spending money on headsets, now, I mean, aviation noise-canceling headsets, I'll spend $600 on, $1,000 on, depending on... But that's from Sennheiser. And, you know, here's a company that's got a long history, and I've had some good experience with the Sennheiser sales reps. When I had an issue, you know, there's a company with name behind it, but Beats, when you look at it, they're just taking your money. You know, there's like a $25 investment in that, and they're making $575 off of you.
Uh huh. It's popping, yo.
it's hard to explain that to teenagers, though.
Because they think we're just lying to them, and we just don't want to buy them from them because they're too expensive.
You're not hip.
Yeah. You want red ones? I got spray paint. Come here.
Right. Yeah. I'll just say, speaking with Richard in the past about these mini computers and speaking to one developer at work, this is the perfect form factor for the mobile developer. Because every developer I speak to, until you get to like 16 gigs of RAM, they don't even want to talk to you.
Right.
What's the point? Get away from me kind of mentality. When I showed him my Zotac Z box and, you know, I said it had 4 gigs of RAM, the developer at work said, so what's the point of it? I said, but you can carry it with you. He said, but why would I want to? I said, what do you expect you're going to do? Well, I'm expecting I'm going to be doing development on it. Oh, well, you're not. This, you literally can. And it is, it's so small, you literally could lose it in your couch cushions. That's what I'm going to say.
Good thing it's not fully wireless. That could be a real problem then.
Yeah, it could be a real problem. This is the kind of thing, if you walk into an office and you see small rectangular boxes with curved edges with gold HP logos on the top, that's their computers, and you just walked into a high-end office.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if my wife saw this, she'd make me buy them. She'd be like, oh, that's what you need for your office. Now, Dor, you saw the video of what my office looks like right now. It looks like a bomb of tech went off in it. And I've got the nice wood desk and all that bit, but it... Seriously, if I panned around, you wouldn't believe it. It honestly looks like a bomb of tech goes off.
Well, if they could have one more attachment to the bottom of that, it just would be a rows of batteries just to power that totally mobile. Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, and I know I've said this before, but one of the guys, when I was on site with my data center in a backpack, so we're talking an i5 NUC with 32 gigs of RAM, 250 gig SSD, a Celeron NUC with 8 gigs of RAM and 500 gig SSD, a modem and a router, you know, small. It would draw, at normal operating, 42 watts. Loading a VM, it would go up to, like, 60 watts. So I'm like just like you said, a couple of lithium-ion batteries, and I got a frickin' data center and a lunchbox. Yeah, you're right. You've just put a stack on that about half the height of what it is of battery, and yeah, you got 24 hours worth of power pretty much.
Yeah, if you're going to use it, I mean, even just for that, you know, the 24-hour, just as a power cleaner or like an APC.
Oh, and I had that here. So my big honking UPS that I used to power my desktop, which I haven't turned on in 2 months, my monitors, etc., because, you know, all of that stuff's drawing a lot of power. I plugged into the printer because I'm doing a 40-hour print right now. So I had a 10-hour print we had like a half-second flash in the power here, you know, just enough to reset the clocks, and 5 hours into a 10-hour print, and so that KO'd.
So that one that broke earlier, how long of a print was that one?
That's a 40-hour print.
Okay, so you're printing another one of those or something similar to that?
Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure, it could have been a couple of issues, but definitely had adhesion. The result was a bad bonding between layers, and it just came apart with a pretty good tug.
Is there some kind of glue that you can shine a UV light on or something to attach this to?
Yeah, if it's not going to stick, you know, if it was a lawn ornament, that's one thing, but if there's some force that's going to be on that, and I don't want to glue it.
Yeah, I'll say really quick also about this HP Elite Slice. One of the things they did, I think, that's smart as well, even if you stack multiple pieces together, the computer, extra storage, and the higher-end speaker, it looks like you still only use the one power cord coming to the device.
That's very nice.
That to me shows somebody with some brains designed this thing, and they actually didn't override them to save money or something.
Yeah. Is there a YouTube video for this? Because I'd love to see how these go together.
There's a few videos there.
Yeah, if you just go to that main link and scroll down, there's at least, I believe, two videos showing off the device. They don't show you ridiculously well how the things go together, but I'm pretty sure it's almost like my laptop to my lap dock kind of connectors between the devices.
In one of the pictures, too, it shows those copper fins at the top, which really adds something to it. But there's one picture where it just shows the corner of the computer. It looks like those are actually copper fins, not just
they are
copper-colored, you know, plastic fins to make it look good. They look like they're probably doing some heat dissipation.
Now, does it look like they light up to you?
I think it's just a reflection. Okay. I could be wrong, but they're definitely heat sinks is what I'll say. Because let me tell you something, you get an i7 in a space that teeny tiny, you talking heat. Now, also with an i7, I'll put this out there. If I have an i7, I'm okay with it having a fan in it and being able to hear the fan. Mm-hmm. Because, for goodness sake, it's an i7. You know, also has a fingerprint reader on it, so if you want to lock it like that. And really quick, the capacitive touch buttons, two of them that almost shock me is like the phone and hang up button, capacitive touch buttons on it. Almost like it's intended to be like an Android type hangout connector kind of device. Yeah, on the second video at 1:17, Richard, they show the two connecting, but
you don't see anything.
It's so fast. All you see is up in the corner a small circular rectangle nub that basically does the connections.
Yeah, I just watched one of the videos. I'm on the it's the HP Business YouTube channel.
Yeah. Ooh. See, this is the kind of thing, if I was ever to sell out to a company and get, you know, demo units, it would have to be for something like this. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. And the fire it started was beautiful, you know, or something like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's some other YouTube videos out there with reviews of it, too. There's quite a bit out there.
Yeah, I'm also sure everybody reviewing them right now is only saying gloriously positive things.
Well, it's sexy looking. Yeah, you got that. Oh, okay, yeah, I see a video, and yeah, there's a nub in the corner on trusted reviews.
And what did you say, Richard? If someone says that it's something it isn't? Yes. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying. You know, I mean, like I told my wife, whenever you buy something and it says fat free, you guarantee one thing: when you eat it, whatever you eat, it's going to be turned into fat.
Oh yeah, anything that's fat free is full of carbs, which turns into fat.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't really have any other things to bring up. The family drama is one thing. Here's a little bit of this belief that I'll share with you people. If I wake up in the morning and I wake up refreshed and I get up and I sit up out of bed and nothing aches and nothing hurts, and I get up and my kids and my family's all pleasant and joyful, and my kids get right out of bed and they get dressed and they come downstairs whistling and singing, and then I get in the car. Yeah. And then if I get in the car to go to work and there's no traffic,
no red lights, and I get green.
All green lights, and then I get to work and everything's great.
And you got the parking spot right at the door.
Yeah, I get the Rockstar parking and there's no problems when I get into work. Well, I'm dead and it's all a dream. So when these things go wrong in my life or my kid's life, it just reminds me that I am alive. So I'll have to, you know, take the good and take the bad.
I thought you were going to be, like those commercials that you see. I don't know who they're even for, but this must be how Eric felt when he woke up the other day. Or, you know, this is how, what's his name, felt when he won the Super Bowl. And that's the way I feel every day, man. That's wake up, birds like land on my finger and stuff.
Today's going to be a good day.
But I have that every morning.
Yeah, see? Right.
Literally.
I walked to work today. It was nice, but it was 17 degrees. It was a nice walk. I didn't trust the ice because most of my walk to work is along water. I wanted to go out there and just walk on the ice, but I was like, I'm alone. There's definitely no one going to find me if I fall in. I don't want to die.
Well, worse is fresh ice is pretty slippery.
Well, it had snow on top of it. It was.
That could be worse.
But yeah, I just wasn't trusting it today. Then I talked to some guys that said, yeah, we were out ice fishing and it's like 7 inches thick. I'm like, oh, I'm fine.
Gotcha. Oh, very cool, guys. I'm tapping out. I'm tired.
All right. Well, anybody else have anything else to complain about before we end up the show?
I don't got a complaint, but I do got another device here. I know Door.
Well, we're going to complain that you're bringing one more device.
You can complain about
that. We've already decided it's over, but that's fine.
I had to bring this up. This is Door had brought up the Oakel Sirius A back in October. And they just recently, this month, created their... Oh, I'm sorry. It wasn't just this month. This was last year, actually. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we didn't see this before. Or maybe we
now
did talk about it. Yeah, I guess
we
can complain about that. The Oakel Sirius B. It's on line 333 in the document.
Great, great number.
Yes. What I liked about this one compared to the other one, the A model had the 6-inch display, whereas the B model does not have a display, and it basically looks like a cell phone, and you can connect it directly to your monitor, Bluetooth keyboard, and mouse, and so forth, and you have a PC that you could walk around and take wherever you want.
Seems like we might have talked about this one.
Yeah, I think we talked about the A model, but not. I didn't see the B model in the notes.
I don't know. I noticed the logo is what I'll say. But to me, the most peculiar thing I'm going to point out is you watch the video. The guy in the video is unusually non-Asian looking, is what I'm going to say. Because this thing is built, I'm pretty sure, in Asia. And the form factor isn't too far off from the Vensmile form factor computers. I do believe this isn't the same, but it's very similar to like the Vensmile form factor. Do you have rough specs or price on this thing?
Yes, we do. Let's see. This is
wow. This thing earned really quick. I'm sorry. 2,900% of what they originally intended to get funded. They got a total of $485,000.
Half a million.
And the reason the guy didn't look Asian was they're in the Netherlands, which I honestly don't know how many hardware fab shops you have creating circuit boards and stuff.
It's an old Nokia shop.
Ah. Ah.
That sounds believable.
I made it up.
Oh. I believe you.
Well, the newer one here, this is sporting a quad-core Cherry Trail processor with 4 gigs of RAM. Running Windows 10, but not too bad. It's got two USB 3.0 wireless AC, which is pretty good. HDMI 1.4, Bluetooth 4.0. The power does use the DC. It doesn't use the micro USB, 5 volts, 2 amps. And,
5 volts, 2 amps? That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, 5 volts, 2 amps.
Wow.
But it uses the DC jack and not the the micro USB that we're all familiar with.
Right.
Input for a mic and speakers as well.
So on the high end, so for what you just gave the specs on, so 4 gigs of RAM, 64 gig internal storage, yep. USB 3.0/2.0, 374.
Yeah, and the Intel Atom X5Z83000 is like the highest processor looks they have, up to 1.84. It's an Atom, which I believe the real differences between the Atoms and the non-Atoms is the Atoms have very little cache, which just means certain things are not as fast, snappy. I think then I'm going to say what you're paying for is the compact form factor, because this thing literally is smaller than most wallets, I'll say.
Smaller than my George Costanza wallet.
Yeah.
Serious? Like 374? I'd pick it up.
Yeah, that's the black cherry one. See, it looks like they keep renewing this because the 225 one, 0 out of 40 have been claimed. 0 out of 40, you earn 3,000 basically percent of your goal fundraises, and 0 out of 40. So it looks like right now you can click the 225 version and you can get that right now.
But on the high end, it says only 8 claimed.
With no OS.
Which, I mean, that could be a feature, really. But
yes.
Yeah. Wow. Well, yeah, I do like the idea of, honestly, this is the quote-unquote computer in the pocket. It's really hard to get more than that. I mean, it nailed it.
And when we're talking pocket, we're talking shirt pocket.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's smaller than a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah, we're talking
phone size, really.
It's like a phone without no battery, though. Again,
and that's the killer. I mean, if they had a battery pack, a door, one of those power vaults, that would run the thing for a whole day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, run it for a while.
I think I might pick this up and see how it performs.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie and say I'm not tempted. I'm tempted, but I really need to be a good boy. Well, and here's the whole thing. This is what I hate. I hate finding... This is the one reason I wanted to do a short show, damn you. Because this is the time of year. This is the time of year. I can't... If something comes in the door this time of year and it's for me, and the wife says, what's that? Oh, well, it's just something. It's a little something I got for myself there. And I open it up and what's that? No, nothing. It's just a little thing I got here. And then the kids are excited by it kind of thing. You know, that makes me look like a real jerk. Oh. You mean I buy her stuff, she just won't get it until Sunday.
Yeah, you don't have to wait, do you? You just open it up and like, oh, let me go play with this now.
Well, and that's the thing. She asked me so many times about what do I want for Christmas. So many times I had to tell her, I have everything I want and the other things you don't want to spend the money on.
Oh, so it's nice you put that caveat in there.
Yeah, I said, so just, you know, buy me the Fandango gift certificates so I can take you to the movies. Because yeah. I don't know what else to say.
Well, so we, did we talk Christmas last show? Did we talk about gifts?
Yes, I think we did. But we can bring it up.
Well, this isn't, mini PC, but my daughter got a MacBook Pro, not the 13-inch, but not the most current version, the one before the refresh. My wife got a 15-inch laptop, low end, nothing high. Her iPhone 6 Plus went on the fritz. I'm like, just get a new phone. We'll get the old one fixed. We're not going to get the insurance on it. I'm like, just get the old one fixed. We'll get you a new one, and that'll be because the iPhone 6s are dogging already. With the new OS, it's been 3 years. I'm like, get a new phone. Don't. So we all know what we're going to get for Christmas, and I'm almost hoping my family didn't buy me anything for Christmas because between my birthday, which is late October, and Christmas, I've bought a bunch of stuff for me. Mm-hmm. So, and I don't know if I should pick up, put under the tree what I got this weekend for myself because I'm worried that they'll ask how expensive it was.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I get that. Yeah. I understand that all too well.
I know. Walmart had a great deal on a 2 terabyte external hard drive for like $49.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so that's one of those things.
I was like, man, I want to buy it, but
I start sweating when I walk by that and don't buy
it. I know,
it.
Right? Like, you kick yourself and you get home. You
have.
Like, oh, I should have bought that. It's I don't know. I think my store still has it if the price is still the same. I mean, nobody goes to my Walmart to buy anything, really.
Well, nobody.
I've got the smallest Walmart. Serious?
Really?
I mean, it has nothing, really.
Monroe, Louisiana has 2 Walmarts, but people say, sir, that's West Monroe, which isn't Monroe.
Well, here's the real test.
We have 1 Walmart, but it has lots of lanes and no food.
No. Here's the real test. Have you ever seen people of Walmart have somebody from your Walmart on it?
Not that I know of, no.
See, until that, okay, when that happens, then you're truly just another Walmart. But right. Until that happens, you are truly unique and special.
Justin Bieber was spotted at my Walmart.
Wow. Sam Walton was at my Walmart.
Good reason to set it on fire, Rich.
Well, it's that or the other Walmart, which I won't go unless I'm carrying a particular device.
Oh! I thought you meant deodorant.
I don't know.
Okay, sorry. I thought he meant some kind of aromatic spray to get the stank away.
It does spray? Yes.
It does spray. Indeed. Yeah, I'm not. I don't go into Walmart unless I absolutely, just like I don't go into Baltimore City unless I absolutely, positively have to.
Hey, speaking of devices, I'm supposed to be getting the Azul PC stick from Azul next week. It's got 4 gigs of RAM. I put it in the comments there. I never owned one of these PC sticks. I just wanted to see how they perform. This one's got a... You know, the other ones that have come out in the past were like 2 gigs of RAM. This one's got the 4 gigs, so I'm curious how it's going to perform.
Well, what processor is that?
That is the Z8300 Cherry Trail quad-core processor.
Which is the exact same processor we just talked about on the Black Cherry device that I already forgot the name to.
Oh, from Ockel Sirius.
Yes, I was trying to forget the name.
So, wait, what ports does this have on it?
So it's
$159 bucks, USB 3, right? Yeah. Is that?
This basically is a extreme identical hardware, I don't want to say knockoff or clone or whatever. This is the exact same stick we saw last week, the orange one on AliExpress, where they were saying 60, 70 bucks, but that one did have half the RAM. But this looks exactly the same.
4 gigs of RAM for $160. Wait, when are you getting it?
Next week, the 20th.
Dude, I might be stalking your house, waiting for the UPS guy to drop it off.
I'm glad you got the 4 gig one, because when we were talking about it, I almost thought that you were leaning towards the 2 gig, and I'm like, well, for $20 more, man, you really got to do the 4.
Yeah.
So that's got a full. All right. So that's got a Wi-Fi antenna, a full-size Cat 5 port.
Yep.
I mean, you could use it as an access point. I mean, if you got the low-end one, but $130, you don't want to do that. You get a router. But USB 3.0, like what the one person writing in asking questions. I mean, so now you have Intel compatible hardware with USB 3.0 speeds. You got, does it say 10/100? Because if it doesn't say gig Ethernet, it's 10/100 or worse. I don't see gig Ethernet.
I don't see gig Ethernet either.
But I mean, heck, that would be a great device for Plex, right? 4 gigs of RAM, Intel processor, USB 3.0?
That is a very good question. Hey, you bring up a good point.
And that's coming with Windows 10, too?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's just weird. It seems like I remember when Windows operating systems cost not much more than that.
Yes.
Well, as long as you have it,
right.
I believe the cutoff is 4 gigs of RAM or less. Or you don't come with a screen. There were three different requirements if you met. Windows is quote-unquote completely free. The license is free. You can do it with whatever. They don't care. I'm pretty sure this meets the requirement. Also, I believe if it's an Atom, then you don't need to pay the fee as well because it's so low power. I'm with Richard. This thing is like almost a quote-unquote, I don't want to say supercomputer because that's so lame. It is a little mini powerhouse computer, literally could fit in your pocket, and I'm pretty sure you could run a lot of damn things off of this thing and run just fine. The only, I think, bottleneck would be literally the processor itself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like an office-type computer, you could work wonders with this thing.
So this has sticking out the one side that's an HDMI. So it's designed to plug into a TV, basically.
Right.
Or a monitor. Directly into a monitor.
Right, right. Huh. Yeah, you got to report back on that. When are you getting it?
The 28th.
28th?
Yeah, next week.
Did you order it today?
I ordered it a couple of days ago. Because
it says get as soon as the 27th or 29th.
Yeah. When I ordered it, they didn't have any in stock. So it was expected to come at a certain day, which was the 28th. And I was like, oh, well, why not? It's not a Christmas present. I'll buy it for the show.
All right, so after I go through the love affair, I look at how many stars. So it does have 4.5 stars, but it only has 4 customer reviews, and they were all employees.
Oh.
No, I'm teasing about that part. But
what?
Verified employee, it says right in there underneath one.
Hey, they can be customers too.
All right, so it took 10 minutes set up with Windows 10, loaded Chrome after other Windows apps works well, not super speedy. But for a stick running high res on a 60-inch HDMI TV for $160, good deal. Wouldn't play games, but surfing, blah, 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 fine.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I wouldn't expect it to play Skyrim or anything. But, you know, I do expect it to be an honest-to-goodness, usable, work-type computer.
It's bad when the hard drive you're going to hook up to this computer is 4 times the size of the computer.
Yeah. Well, that's why you get the 2 terabyte laptop drive that you walked by for $50.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
This wasn't even a laptop drive. This was a USB 3 drive, external.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's what I mean, external.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll say really quick, this is the company, if the listeners don't remember, Azul is a company that Brian's brought up at least 3 or 4 times in the past. So they're not some one-off knockoff doing this one thing. They do, I don't want to say a broad range of hardware. They do a lot of different mini computing pieces
so
of hardware.
If you look on the Amazon, it says compare to similar items. And there's the Azul Quantum mini PC stick, blah. 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage. $89, even that. Is something Atom, and I don't know the Atom processors. It's Z375F at 1.3 gigahertz, but that sounds pretty decent.
Yeah, all these to me look really respectable. And then they have the one down there that I really liked was the Azul Byte Plus, which is definitely gigantic compared to this stick computer.
It's nook size.
It's still small.
Yeah, that's the one that I got my son for Christmas, the Bite Plus.
Very cool.
Oh, okay. Now, that one you went with the higher RAM and stuff too, right?
Yeah.
Because it was the model just got revived.
So it's got to be a Gen 6 because it's got 32 gigs of RAM. Wait a second. Oh, wait. No, I'm reading the wrong line. I'm looking at the hard drive size.
Yeah. MMC. Their namings, I mean, their naming conventions are getting worse as time goes on, though, for some reason. They used to be pretty easy. Now they're getting A-1062-AP-BP-1L. Sounds like something Dor would have ordered.
Yep.
Sounds like a TV model.
Yeah.
But you should be able to do some light gaming, casual gaming on these things from the Windows Play Store or the Windows Store there.
Oh, yeah. Even with Steam, I guarantee you can play Left 4 Dead 2. I can play Left 4 Dead 2 with Intel graphics with, I don't want to say no problem, but it runs fine.
Well, I got to say, I like that Link remote that comes with the Zotac size, NUC-sized Azul mini PC. It's got the almost like a little Android-ish remote on one side.
Mm. Oh yeah,
on the back it's got the keyboard.
Yep.
Android-ish remote, but that there looks like a Windows icon on the top.
Yes, it does.
Not Android.
Yeah. Yeah.
That type ain't welcome
around
here.
I think I could take an eraser to that for a little while. Take care of that.
Yeah.
It's got a microphone button on it, so it looks like it can do some voice commands, on-screen display.
Yeah, that could be a really good remote, I ain't gonna lie. Even if it has, you know, the Windows.
I bought a new TV Black Friday for a Black Friday deal, and it's got Roku built into the TV.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Ooh.
And the remote that comes with it is a Roku remote. So
cool.
I don't have any number buttons though on this TV.
Oh yeah,
which is kind of odd. But one thing they did is they put the volume on the side of the remote, the rocker switch on the side, and the mute buttons right below it. I really like that.
That's nice.
It's
easy to find.
Yeah, because I'm hunting on the face of the remote. Did I get the TV a year ago? So we got a. Is it a Vizio? Yeah, I think it's a Vizio TV. It's got a full keyboard on the back of the remote.
Oh yeah, yeah, we got one of those at work. I've never used it.
Oh, you said, well, you know, when you type in username, password, that kind of thing.
All right, Dor. What else you got?
I came here to chew bubble gum and kick butt.
And I'm all
He's all out of gum?
And I'm all out of bubble gum? I knew I liked you guys for a reason.
Well, I'd like to wish everybody who's listening a happy Christmas and New Year's, and you fellas, too. And, thanks for giving us another year of your drive to work or walk to work or time on the treadmill or whatever, however you consume our podcast. And if you are tired of listening to about these mini PCs and thinking about buying one for yourself, just wait a couple weeks. We'll have a link to get you a little, maybe something straight from China that you can, so you could experience the love that the Dor has arrive on his doorstep every day.
Well, yes, but I'll say this. AliExpress is like eBay. If you walk in blind and just start throwing money around, you're surely going to get ripped off.
Yeah.
You got to use your brain. You can't trust everything on the site to be, you know, completely great and fantastic. That's like any other site, period.
I don't care what...
Hey, you go on Amazon, you got to be careful. You go on eBay, you better be careful. You go on Craigslist, you might as well just go someplace else.
I've had really good luck at Craigslist.
Yeah, I too.
I just can't wait because I want to be the first one to use that affiliate link. And I'm probably going to waste my money wistfully on some kind of electric bike that I can get for $15 and just be really disappointed.
And that's what I thought about today, Eric. My son, my oldest son, when he left for school this morning, minutes later, I don't remember know what it was, minutes later we realized he left his phone and his house key sitting on the kitchen table. And I thought to myself, I would love to be able to go downstairs, hit the button, open the garage, hop on a little device of some sort, and go down to the bus stop really quick. Say nothing to him, because if I say something to him, he's immediately not cool. And just hand him his stuff and then just turn around and zip back home. Because I opened up the door, I went outside, both windshields in the cars were covered with ice, and I went into the middle of the street, I looked down the street, and I couldn't see him. So he was already too far for me to catch him.
They had those, they're like they're by the company Acton, A-C-T-O-N. Basically, they're powered roller skates, and they're huge, and you strap them to each of your feet, and you act like you're riding roller skates, but they're fully powered. You just kind of rock back and forth and head on down the road. I could just
What could go wrong? Huh? You know, what could possibly go wrong?
I know. They were on sale, too. I was like, oh, man, those are so crazy looking. I don't know if I'd ever catch myself in them.
I'm really happy I got Blue Cross and Blue Shield as well.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Well, thanks for another year. We might have another show before this year's over, but I think we did our predictions last week, so I'm just going to...
You know what we should probably bring up next week? This probably will be a little premature, but what's coming up in CES? You know, what to expect for mini PCs?
Do that. We did a little bit of our future guesses last week, but I don't know what CES has to bring. Well, there's a couple things that we know is coming now, like the NVIDIA Shield, so that would be nice.
Yep.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's a good idea. We'll think about that. And if you guys have any listeners have any things that they might think might come to CES and they want to throw us an email before the next show, we'll get it on the show too.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right, thanks everybody for listening again, and we'll see you next week. On the Mini PC Shield 3. No, I'm just kidding.
One more thing.